Father, we thank you and praise you for your Holy Spirit. We ask you to teach us, O Lord, reveal your truths that we may walk in it. In Jesus' name, amen. So we were studying about purpose, principles of purpose, and we covered up to the fifth purpose, I think, fifth principle, fourth one? Yeah. God is a purpose for everything. He never created anything without a purpose. God is a God of purpose. That's principle one. He has always a purpose. We need to know the purpose of our lives. And principle number two is everything in life has a purpose. If God is a God of purpose, that means everything God created, everything in life has got a purpose. See? Whatever it may be, whether it's the trees or the animals or human beings, everything has got a purpose. Ignorance of purpose does not cancel the purpose. We may be ignorant of what the purpose is, but that does not cancel the purpose of God. See? Principle number three, not every purpose is known. Some purposes are many, they are hidden. They're waiting to be found out, to be searched for. See, whether it is a blessing or a curse or whatever, a storm or a good shower, everything has a purpose. Principle number four, whenever the purpose is not known or ignored, abuse is inevitable. Are you there? See, when purpose is not received or understood, known, abuse cannot be avoided. Let it be anything. If we do not know the purpose of our lives, why we are here on earth, we are going to abuse our days and spend our days according to our own thinking, and maybe if Jesus tarries, die without fulfillment. Right? Principle number five. We're continuing from there, I believe. If you want to know the purpose of a thing, never ask the thing. Have we ever asked a chair or a microphone or a plant why it exists? You see, we never ask that question anyway. And they won't tell you either, because they haven't got mouths to say. The same is true for all things, whether or not they can talk. A created thing can never know what was in the mind of the Creator when He planned and built it. When God created it, the purpose of that thing was hidden in the heart of God, or in the mind of God. Most of the time, people do not know why they have been born in such a time as this. That is why the devil tricks them and see that they are entangled in the affairs of this life. I don't say evil affairs. I don't say that if possible, yes. But most of the time, you get entangled in the good things of this life. Remember Jesus said the cares of this life, the deceitfulness of riches. See? They choke the word when people receive the word of God because they are not at it. They don't give preference for it. You know, it is not their priority. And because of that, they lose the purpose why the word was given to them. Now, this word of God, what we are studying, can change our lives completely throughout eternity. Everything in this earth is temporary. Do you know whatever that you see is temporary? What you don't see is eternal. And how foolish we are most of the time, our hearts cling on to the temporal. What we don't see are those ones, it is permanent, eternal. Everything what we see is temporary. That takes a real revelation too. We can hear it and then go on just get hooked to the temporal things. It is most astounding. So most of us, we do not know why we are here. Only the Creator God knows the purpose for each and everything and every human being. Sometimes people think that they are called to do that and called to do this, for which God has not called them. You know, sometimes even some people may say that you can do this, and you know, just like David said about, you know, the Lord's house, and then his house is in a palace, and then Prophet Nathan said, why don't you do whatever that's in your heart? Go on, build a good temple for the Lord. And that night, the Lord told Nathan, no, tell David that he will not build it. God never called him for that purpose. He said, the one coming after that who will build, that's Solomon. And that word is also prophetic. Jesus actually built the temple of God for God. That's through his death and resurrection. Every born again person is a temple. Hallelujah. Right? So, sometimes we think this is what it is. I mean, I'm just called as to be a good mother. I'm just called to be a good child. I'm just called to be a good clerk or an accountant. That may be secondary. But there is a primary, main purpose. And that need to be searched and found out. God is not going to just open and say, this is what it is. It takes perseverance, takes faith, surrender, commitment to know. And God will reveal it. For example, Balaam did not know why his donkey was troubling. He was trying to beat him up. Eh? And finally the Lord opened the mouth of the donkey, and the donkey spoke. And God never spoke through the donkey, God, the donkey spoke. And said, have I done this before like this? There was a purpose. God wanted to rebuke and open the eyes of this man, Balaam. He's a witch doctor. So, the purpose, if we want to know the purpose, we should ask the Creator, not the thing. right? Then, principle number 6. Purpose is found only in the mind of the Creator. The purpose of God for anything is found only in Him. You see, there are many things that are on display in the shops, whether it's an electrical shop or a furniture shop or ceramics, I don't know, craft shop. When you go and examine the each and, you know, different things that they have displayed, most of the time we do not know, hey, what is this? we ask, what is this for? What is the purpose here? And that man has to come and then say, no, this is not for that. This is to keep this one here or there, whatever. And we think that, I thought this was whatever, you know? Most of the time we don't understand why that was made that way. But the purpose can be only found when you ask the manufacturer who manufactured it. Same way, God is the only person who has the purpose for everything. Now, 1 Samuel 9, 15 to 17. If you keep on thinking about this and meditating, you will very soon find out the reason of your living, the reason why God has brought you and then teaching you these things, and step by step He will reveal it to you. 9:15. Now the Lord had told Samuel in his ear the day before Saul came, saying, tomorrow about this time I will send you a man from the land of Benjamin, and you shall anoint him commander over my people Israel, that he may save my people from the hand of the Philistines, for I have looked upon my people because their cry has come to me. Here God has a purpose. He wants to deliver His people from the hands of the Philistine. And He chooses a man. And this man, Saul, is coming in search of his father's donkeys. And Samuel did not know who was coming. And God never gave him all the description. The day before Saul was to meet Samuel, the Lord told him, tomorrow about this time, I'm going to send a man from this tribe, Benjamin. And you better anoint him. And when Samuel saw Saul, this is the man, the Lord said. So God, the purpose of God was hidden in God. Samuel never knew it until the Lord revealed it to him. No one knows it. But this man coming in search of the donkeys. Can you see that? And so much so, the circumstances took place. The events brought him from one place to the other place, to the place where the prophet Samuel was, and the purpose was revealed. Samuel told him, this is what? You see? The Holy One of Israel, His desire is upon you. I mean, he must have seen, you know, got a shock in his life. And he said, me? My family? I mean, my family is the least. No one cares. So the purpose was hidden with God. All right? Exodus chapter 3, verse 4. God called Moses, and Moses had no idea. Now, he's about 80 years now. And he has given up everything in life. He's just waiting probably to die. Rejection, forgotten by people, his own people, Israelites. And back, not in the middle of the desert, the backside of the desert. You know, once upon a time, he was kind of an engineer in Egypt, and was a prince building cities for Pharaoh, right? And the Lord called him at that time. Then, verse 3, chapter 3, then Moses said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight. Why the bush does not burn? So the Lord saw that he turned aside to look. God called him from the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. And he said, here I am. Now go to verse 14. And God said to Moses, I am, excuse me, verse 10. Come now, therefore, and I will send you to Pharaoh, that you may bring my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. God planned this a long time ago. And he waited for the moment for Moses to come to that place. And God revealed his plan to him. I am going to send you to Pharaoh. I mean, this sounded, I mean, absolutely impossible and weird for Moses. He was thinking about his age and his ability to speak, and he cannot speak, and he stammers, and what more? He's 80 years now. Good part of the life is gone. If the Lord has called him when he was 40, he would have said, here I am. Send me. I'm already ready. I just killed one. How many more? Right? But God has to wait until all his flesh is gone. This is one of those principles, you know, when God is going to really work out a great work through us, he sometimes waits until the flesh is gone. You know, not that I say that we have to wait until Moses is 80. No, but until our own ego is gone. So the purpose was hidden in God for Moses, even though he did not know it. Maybe he thought that everything was over. Maybe he thought that somebody else, if that's not Moses, somebody, you know, maybe another person, not me. Later the time came. Jeremiah, we know Jeremiah's purpose was hidden with God, and Jeremiah did not know it. Jeremiah chapter 1. And he said, oh, it's good to read that, you know, actually. Chapter 1. And the Lord said, revealed the purpose in his life. Verse 4, then the word of the Lord came to me, saying, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I sanctified you. I ordained you a prophet to the nations. Can you see that? The purpose of God had been settled already, even before he was formed in the womb of his mother. What a plan of God. Now you and I may ask, now is, okay, this was so for Jeremiah. I'm just not. Every child of God, every person born into this, there is a purpose God set aside. And this purpose we begin to step into and we begin to receive through revelation. If we obey the revealed principles of God, the word of God in the Bible, step by step, the Lord begins to unveil these truths. Now, when the Lord revealed to me his plan that he was going to make me a minister, even though I was weeping, I said, this can't be. And I shook my head many times, no, because I know that I cannot be a pastor or a minister. And in Tamil, they say, podagar. And I had all kinds of different ideas about the pastors, and I did not want to get into it, and I knew it won't work. So I went on straight on for looking for jobs and all that. But then one thing that the Lord did for me is he pulled me to the word of God, and I spent much time with the word of God. Much time. I will not sit and jabber. Spend time, much time with the word of God. Get inside the room and pray. Go to the beach and pray. And pray and talk to the Lord. Sometimes weep, sometimes laugh. You know, me and him, that's all. And the Lord unveiled day by day. And people would come. And I was marveled. I don't know why they are coming. Now I have to pretend that I know the Bible now. So what did I do? I just read the Bible. I just read. And they fell down. Sometimes demons manifested, spirits. So God will unveil it to you if you are faithful to Him. Keep close encounter with Him. You don't have to go for a special encounter classes. That they may be good, but have an encounter with Him every morning. Every morning. You see? If there needs to be a special encounter, God will arrange that for you. Moses had a special encounter. Gideon had one. You know, there's so many people. So the purpose of Jeremiah was revealed. That was in the heart of God. So we're going through this purpose where that the purpose can be only found in the mind of the Creator. Then the purpose of Paul. Go with me to Acts 9. Now you remember Paul was persecuting the church, and suddenly he meets the Lord on the road to Damascus. And Saul, who is later became Paul, the apostle, he asked, "Who are you, Lord?" And Jesus said, "I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting." And then the story, and then again the second question he asked, "What shall I do, Lord?" Then the Lord said, "You had better go and go to that city, and then it shall be told to you." Now, Ananias was praying in one place, and the Lord comes to him and speaks to Ananias. Verse 11, Acts 9. "Arise and go to the street called Straight and inquire the house of Judas for one called Saul of Tarsus. For behold, he is praying. And in a vision he has seen a man named Ananias coming in and putting his hand on him so that he might receive his sight. Ananias answered, 'Lord, I have heard from many about this man, how much harm he has done to your saints in Jerusalem. And here he has authority from chief priests to bind all who call on your name.'" Interesting, isn't it? I mean, we with human mind, we're just trying to tell the Creator, "Do you know about this?" And see, I mean, this is human beings, you know what I mean? We. And God never rebukes it. Jesus never rebuked him. Oh, Jesus saw everything. He's God. Verse 15. "But the Lord said to him, 'Go, for he is a chosen vessel of mine to bear my name before Gentiles, kings, and children of Israel. For I will show him how many things he must suffer for my name's sake.'" Can you see? The purpose of Paul was hidden in the heart of Jesus. Your purpose and mine is hidden in the heart of Jesus. It is up to us to find out. It is up to us to strive for it. You throw it on a side, 10 minutes, 15 minutes morning or 10 minutes at night, one chapter a day, run to work and come back and blame it on Canada, blame it on Christian, and blame it on everybody, blame it on the job and blame it on the dog and on the elevator and everything, and blame it on the laundry work and blame it anything. All those excuses will never reveal the purpose of God that is hidden in Jesus Christ. You have a purpose. 100% a definite purpose is there. You can strive and get near the Lord and receive the revelation through the Holy Spirit, or just forget it. For many will die without knowing the purpose. Will they go to heaven? If they are truly born again, yes. But they would miss everything throughout eternity, because God saved us and called us. If God's purpose was only to get us to heaven, no born again Christian will stay here on earth. The very day the funeral will take place, the moment they are born again. You hear? So think about it. Don't be settled down. Please. Don't be settled down with your, oh, I speak in tongues, big certificate. Oh, you know, I don't. Once this purpose, and Paul continued and continued and continued with the Lord, and see, I started to preach Jesus Christ. Come to me with Acts 13. And now, more specifically, there is another work that is being given for Paul, Acts 13, 2. As they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Spirit said, now separate to me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them. Then having fasted and prayed and laid hands on them, they sent them away. They sent them away. You know, apostles means those who are sent. So aren't you thrilled and aren't you glad that you have a purpose and that purpose is hidden in the heart of Jesus Christ? He is the will of God. He is the wisdom of God. It is in Him. The life's purpose. Ephesians chapter 2 verse 10. This is another beautiful scripture which tells us that this ministry and your ministry and man has been preordained. Every child of God. For we are His workmanship. His workmanship. Mercedes is the workmanship of Germans. So as BMW. Toyota is the workmanship of the people of Japan. Japanese, right? The new creature, a born-again Christian, is the workmanship of God. Jehovah. Recreated in Christ Jesus. For good works, which God prepared beforehand, that we should walk in them. Before time began, God prepared it. He planned the course. Your ministry and mine, the work, the gifting, the anointing, everything to go with it. God never gave Aaron to Moses when God called Moses for ministry. When Moses said, no, I cannot talk, but you got to do something. And then God scratched his head and said, no, wait a minute now. Now you should have told me earlier. I mean, whom can I choose now? No. He immediately said, Aaron is coming over there. God knew everything. He knows the end from the beginning. So don't say that I cannot sing, I cannot talk or do that, this. God will supply that. Only thing, we need to be geared and focused to the call of God. We need to know exactly what He wants us to do. When we do that, we are victors. Do you understand? How do you know that God wants us to start a big church here? Unless we know from Him. You know, people try and take a trial and error method. I mean, they just simply go on in one direction and then find out, oh well. No. Kenneth Hagin says he spent nearly 15 years as a pastor when God never called him as a pastor. He failed and failed and failed. And then finally he asked the Lord, Lord, you got to tell me there's something going wrong here. And then the Lord said, I never called you as a pastor. He's a mighty servant of God. Probably, you know, if God permits, we'll go and see him one of these days. And he said, I called you as a teacher. Are you there? I called you as a teacher. See that point? So the ministry has been foreordained. Ministry has been prepared long time before. So don't. It's up to us to say, Lord, reveal it to me. Open mine eyes as you prayed. My inner understanding, open my inner eyes, Lord, that I may know the hope of my calling. Can I pray that, Pastor, about 50 times a day? I'll tell you, you'll be the most blessed person. If we pray that way, I'll tell you the devil will attack you. Probably you will say that I want to pray for 50 times and you pray for twice. Because the more you pray that way, you're praying the scriptures and the God is going to reveal that to you. Reveal that to you. Morning, afternoon, night, and evening, we pray that prayer because that prayer has been written in the Bible for the past 2,000 years. Are you there? Are you all here? 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 26. Now, for you see, consider your calling, brethren. Have you considered your calling? Many people, what calling? Nobody called me. Consider your calling, brethren, that not many wise according to the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble and are called. If noble and mighty and wise people are called, then I would not be speaking to you now. So you say, no, Pastor, I don't have even money to go to the Bible college. That's okay. You are safe. In fact, because many go to the Bible college and come back without the faith. And so God says, consider. Did the Lord call you and me because we were something? No. Absolutely not. But God has chosen the foolish things of the world to put shame the wise. And God has chosen the weak things of the world to put shame the things which are mighty. And the base things of the world, the things which are despised, God has chosen the things which are not to bring to nothing the things that they are. You see, God wants to really make the wisdom of this world foolish by choosing the normal things, things that are not even recognized, you know, weak things, and you know. So that's why all of us, we have a chance of serving the Lord. Hallelujah. We can really serve the Lord in His kingdom. Yes, you say I'm weak, I'm nothing. God has chosen you. He's chosen you. See? So the principle six is, purpose is found only in the mind of God. It is in His mind. And principle number seven. Seven is the number of the Holy Spirit, right? Purpose is the key to fulfillment in life. Purpose. Fulfilling the purpose. Going on with your purpose and finishing your purpose is the fulfillment, satisfaction, wholeness in life. There is nothing apart from this. You want to be satisfied every day. You want to live in fulfillment every day. Walk in the purpose of God. You see, when Jesus was 12 years old, He stayed back and then He said that I might have been busy with my father's things, you know, His business, His work. Joseph and Mary came out the third day. And Jesus wasn't worried, and then He didn't squall and bawl and cry, you know, because His parents left Him and gone. Woo, do you see my dad? I missed him. He has satisfaction and fulfillment because He was in the center of God's will. God has a purpose and plan. And He has got everything planned out, drawn out, every year, every month, every day, that we should be with in this place, in this city, in this country, with this kind of people. And we miss it, we will face disaster, dissatisfaction, unrest, frustration, depression, confusion, all the fusion. You name it. Whatever we can eat, but we will be not satisfied. We can clothe ourselves, buy everything, stand in front of the mirror and say, wow, but no satisfaction. No satisfaction. Fulfillment of life will come only when you are in the center of God's call, center of God's purpose. You will fit in there. See? Other than that, you will be out of place, like the bird that wanders from its nest. Fulfillment of life comes only by following the purpose of God. The key is following God's purpose. So purpose is the key to fulfillment of life. Genesis chapter 25, verse 7 and 8. This is talking of Abraham. This is the sum of the years of Abraham's life, which he lived 175 years. Then Abraham breathed his last and died. Can you see that? He breathed his last and died in a good old age, an old man and full of years with sorrow. No? No. And was gathered to his people. Why Abraham died that way? Because he followed God's purpose. He left his country. He left his people, his kinsmen, his relatives. He left everything. He committed. He was willing to let go Lot. He was willing to let go Isaac. Willing to let go his own country and all that. To fulfill his call. Can you see that? So there was fulfillment and satisfaction towards the end of his life. It's a matter of, do we want this? Are we studying this just for, oh well, you know what? We learned about principle 7. Genesis 50. There's no point in learning it just for knowledge. We'll be dissatisfied again. Genesis 50, verse 20. But as for you, you meant evil against me, but God meant it for good in order to bring about, as it is this day, to save many people alive. That was the purpose of God in the life of Joseph. Verse 22. So Joseph dwelt in Egypt, he and his father's household, and Joseph lived 110 years. Joseph saw Ephraim's children to the third generation, great-grandchildren, the children of Machir, the son of Manasseh, were also brought up Joseph's knees. And Joseph said to his brethren, I am dying, but God will surely visit you and bring you out of this land to the land of which he sowed to Abraham. Look now, he's prophesying. He's prophesying. Something was revealed to him. God will visit you and bring you out of this land to the land which he sowed to Abraham, to Isaac and to Jacob. Then Joseph took an oath from the children of Israel, saying, God will surely visit you and you shall carry up my bones from there. So Joseph died being 110 years old, and there they embalmed him, and he was put in a coffin in Egypt. And when the children of Israel were getting out of Egypt, they took Joseph's bones, you know. Was Joseph satisfied in life? Huh? Of course. Of course. Because he walked according to the purpose of God. That is the key to fulfillment in life. Do you want to be fulfilled? How many die without fulfillment? Millions, millions. And among Christians, millions. Because they failed to find out the purpose of God in their lives. Some people found out the purpose, but they failed to persevere and to finish it. Deuteronomy chapter 34. Deuteronomy chapter 34. Have you taken it? Verse 5. So Moses, the servant of the Lord, died there in the land of Moab according to the word of the Lord. And he buried him in the valley in the land of Moab opposite to Peor, but no one knows his grave to this day. Moses was 120 years old when he died. His eyes were not dim, he never wore any glasses, nor his natural vigor diminished. No contact lenses, nothing. Are you there? Moses fulfilled the purpose of God. He followed the guidance and the call of God upon his life. So God gave him fulfillment, satisfaction. He fulfilled the maximum plan, isn't it? What God gave to man, human beings, after the flood, 120 years. Joshua chapter 24. See these people there. You see, I've had the opportunity to stand next to some people. Their soul was departing. They were breathing their last. They were very much in sorrow and dissatisfied. And some people were afraid. Yeah. But look at these people, because they followed the purpose of God. Chapter 24, Joshua, verse 29. Now it came to pass after these things that Joshua, the son of Nun, the servant of the Lord, died being 110 years old. And they buried him within the border of the inheritance of Timnath-Serah, which is in the mountains of Ephraim on the north side of Mount Gash. Joshua followed the purpose of God. And he had fulfillment and satisfaction in life. The key to is the purpose of God, the fulfillment in life. Staying in your purpose. 2 Timothy 4:7. 2 Timothy 4:7. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Finally, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give me on the day. And not to me only, but also to all who have loved his appearing. You see, Paul was so much in peace and in satisfaction of life, for he knew that he has finished the purpose of God that was upon his life. Now, when the fulfillment can be there, that does not mean that you would not have hard times. All these people had hard times. You mean to say Moses never had a hard time? Oh, I think they just put all his hair out, you know, probably. For nearly 40 years in the wilderness. Yes, and all of them, they had hard times. But then, Paul knew, now this time has come for me to go. But that he said, I have fought a good fight. I have finished my race. I have finished it. That was fulfillment. How did it come? The purpose of God. The purpose of God. The Israelites died without fulfillment. Died in dissatisfaction, died in agony, snake bites and diseases and all that. They sang and came out of Egypt. But then, because they were self-centered, they were not concerned about the purpose of God. They were not worried. They saw His miracles, but the ways of God, they didn't want to know. So they were so self-centered, caught up in the soulish life, just like many Christians, sometimes many of us, go to church, so-called sincere Christians, who will not engage in sin and, you know, even backbiting, or let alone fornication or adultery, whatever. But since the purpose is not pursued, seeked after, to go after the purpose, you live in dissatisfaction. You may have a little happiness. You know, happiness comes by circumstance. You may buy something and then be happy for about a day, a week, or a month. Whether it is a ring or a wardrobe or a carpet or whatever, certainly it gives you happiness. Or even if you find your fiancé or your marriage partner, yeah, happiness. But then, happiness is connected to the circumstances. Joy comes from heaven. Joy is from the Holy Spirit that comes from heaven, that does not depend on anything. Paul had joy while in prison, and they were singing. I wonder, many of the churches who are singing on Sunday mornings that they are worshiping, whether they would do so at midnight inside prison. Man, they would be mourning, cursing God and cursing the pastor and everyone. Eh? Cursing even the jailer. You wait and see what God will do for you. John chapter 17 verse 4. But the fulfillment that really comes from God is when you are pursuing your purpose, the purpose of God, and fulfilling it. John 17, 4, hallelujah. I'm finishing it. I have glorified you. This is the last prayer of Jesus Christ in the sense as in the garden. I have glorified you on the earth. I have finished the work which you given me to do. Can you see that? Father, I have finished the work which you have given me to do. And finally, when he was hanging on the cross, he said, it is finished. Over. Fulfillment, satisfaction. He said, Father, receive my spirit. Satisfaction. Fullness inside. Why? God brought you for that purpose, brought him for that purpose, and he finished that purpose. Fulfillment in life. Today, many sincere, precious Christians are dissatisfied, frustrated, depressed, confused, grumbling. Hey? In all over the world. And many times we do that because we divert from God's purpose. We lose the sight of His call, His purpose. We don't consider His purpose as a priority. We don't give that place its number one place. And therefore, other things get crowded up into our minds. So we get confused about the purpose. Ask yourself, for what purpose God has called you into the kingdom. For what purpose God is teaching you? For what purpose even God has permitted you to listen to this message? Why? Why are you enjoying good health? Why are you receiving these truths when others have not even heard about the coming, the first coming of our Lord Jesus Christ? Many do not know the name Jesus Christ in many parts of the world. If that is so, why should the Lord teach you and me these things? Knowledge? To him more is given, much is required. God has a purpose for you. There is a God-given purpose. You can do whatever you like, good things for people, but God, at the end of the day, end of your life, God will say, I never called you for this purpose. I never asked you to do this. That was not in my agenda. That was not in my file about your life. Somebody said, some servant of God, the day of judgment is going to reveal, many are going to be shocked with their open mouths when God, the Lord Jesus Christ, is going to reveal, this is the ministry that I called you for. And it'll take a really a shock for many. Oh, I wish I had known. Over. Everything is over. So find out your purpose. Don't give him rest. We need to find out. Why, Lord? Why are you silent? I want to know. But be faithful in whatever God gives you. Keeping the times with God. The devil will see to it that it takes us away from giving time for God. At least the 1/10 of 24 hours a day. That's 2 hours and 40 minutes. No. Spending quality time with the Word of God. I am saying all these things to those, if you want, if we really want satisfaction, God's fulfillment, peace, abundance within our spirit, in our lives, before the Lord calls us. That is real satisfaction. So, these are the 7 principles, right? Can you name them? The 7 principles. God is a God of purpose, right? God is a God of purpose. And everything God created, everything in life has a purpose. Then principle number 3 is, not every purpose is known. Right? Then principle number 4, wherever the purpose is not known or ignored, abuse is inevitable. People start abusing things and their lives. Principle 5, if you want to know the purpose of a thing, never ask the thing, you must ask the Creator. Ask the manufacturer. Then principle six is, purpose is only found in the mind of God, the Creator. We must ask Him. We need to ask Him. And principle 7 is, purpose is the key to fulfillment in life. Without this, you see, there is a purpose for every church. Every church, even though the main commission is to win souls and to make disciples, to go and to make disciples, but then the strategy, the work, the ministry varies. Different. God loves varieties. When you see the created things anyway. See the animals, see the flowers, see the trees. It's a variety. He loves. That's why He created you brown, blue and black, and with all kinds of different hairs and noses and ears, and some big and small and some very big, and eyes, different eyes, you know? Color of eyes, shape of eyes, with purpose. Hallelujah. So, give no sleep, no rest to your heart. Find out and ask the Lord the purpose that He has for you. May the Lord bless you.